The reading is from Psalm 46, verse 1 to 7. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
That was from Psalm 46. I want to have a New Testament reading as well. And our New Testament reading is from the second book of Corinthians, Corinthians chapter 10, following on from our Old Testament reading. A New Testament reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, reading from verse 1. Page 1164 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when I'm away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. And the Lord blessed to us the reading of his own precious words this morning from the Old and from the New Testament. In the church here, we've been thinking a lot over the last few weeks about the storms of life. We all go through times of great turmoil. We struggle, and many of those struggles are, of course, very common, the common struggles of life. We struggle very often with our health. We struggle with our work. We struggle with what's happening around us in the world at large. And these struggles are, of course, common to everybody. But there are spiritual struggles, too. There are struggles that we face as Christians as we seek to live out our Christianity, the things that we believe in. And Paul was certainly struggling at this particular time. And in all these struggles, as that beautiful psalm reminds us, we have a refuge. We have somewhere where we can go. We have someone we can go to. And our refuge is God, who is there, who is a very present help in time of trouble. And that is true for all troubles. But I want to particularly think this morning of the struggles that we face as Christians, because we are Christians. And Paul is dealing with that in this portion that we read in 2 Corinthians. He is dealing with the struggles of our faith. And I want to just, for these few moments, think about verses 3 and 4 of our reading. In these struggles with our faith, we do not, although we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to punish, to demolish strongholds. And the Apostle Paul is reminding us, and perhaps we don't often think about this or want to think about it. But if we are Christians, inevitably, there's going to be a struggle. This is true for everybody. We read about it so often in the scriptures that we can't ignore it. We might want to. We might always be looking, perhaps, and it's only natural, and thank God for when the path is easy. But when we read the scriptures, we will find invariably there will be struggles. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, listen, I've had a struggle. And if you were going to follow him, if you were going to follow me, you can be sure that you are going to have a struggle as well. If you found it hard, then if I found it hard, then you will find it hard. In our reading, as we started this morning, we read, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, as I'm building my church, there's going to be a struggle. There will be opposition. There will be difficulties. But fear not, he says. And this is wonderful. Fear not. In this struggle, you can rest on this. I have overcome the world. As a Christian, although we will go through these struggles, we are more than conquerors because of Christ who has loved us. In other words, we're on the victory side. We're on the side that not hopefully one day we hope will win. We're on the side where victory is assured. We're on the side where the victory has already been secured for us on the cross. Because the enemy of our souls has been defeated. Oh, he's on a long rope at the moment and he's going around seeking to cause all kinds of havoc. But he's a defeated foe. Remember that. If you know something beforehand, you are not so fearful, right? Okay? I don't watch the rugby matches too much now. But if I know the result, I watch the replays. Because I know that Wales are going to win. Look at Alan looking at me there. Listen, the victory is ours. And we need to know that. But as we go forward, and as we face the struggles of life, I just want to go over some truths from God's word this morning. Basic information for us as we go forward. Just like any other soldier needs to know certain basic rules and information, we too, as we struggle on the Lord's side in this, we can only describe it as a battle, we need to be reminded of essential truths. First of all, we must be reminded that we can't just walk into this army. We just can't walk into fighting on the Lord's side. We must first come to a clear understanding of what it means to be a child of God. We must be clear about our salvation. We must realize that those principles that are true in the gospel are true for life now. It's not what we can do, it's what he has done for us and what he can do through us. We stand in him and in the strength that he provides. We need to know this basic truth that as we go forward, it's not about me, it's about him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, forgive me when I lapse into thinking that I can do it. I cannot do it. My faith and trust is completely in you. And the other thing a soldier has to know is not only these basic facts, is that he hasn't joined this army for a picnic. He has joined this army because this is a serious thing. He's joined this army knowing that there's going to be a struggle. He knowing that he's going to have a fight. But he accepts that. I think sometimes as Christians we don't. We think everything should be plain sailing. But the soldier joins the army knowing what he's getting into, but confident that the victory will be won. We have a commanding officer whom we are to listen to and obey. The soldier, when he joins the army, he doesn't say, well, maybe I'll do that, or maybe I won't. He listens to the commanding officer. Our commanding officer is Jesus. He's the one in charge. He is the one who gives the orders. I like watching Dad's Army. And in Dad's Army, Captain Mandarin will say, "Wilson, call the men into line." And Sergeant Wilson goes, I wonder would you awfully mind? I wonder would you awfully mind stepping into line, please? If you have the time, please step into line now." And you see Mandarin's eyes smoking. "That's not the way you do it, Wilson." Yeah, the commanding officer doesn't say to us, "Now, I wonder if you don't mind. I wonder if you think this is a good idea. This is how you should live. Or I want you to do this. Do you think it'd be a good idea if you fell into line here?" Our commanding officer isn't like that. Our commanding officer says, "I give you this command. This is how you should live. These should be your priorities. This is what you should do." And as we sang in our children's song, the response should be, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." It calls for obedience. The commanding officer gives the instructions. He gives us the command. And we should not say, hang on a minute now. Let's think this through. I don't know if that's a good idea. If the scripture tells us to do something plainly, we shouldn't try to explain it away. We should live according to the light that God has given to us in the scripture. The weapons of our warfare are not like those in the world. The world says, "Let's think about this. Let's see if this suits me. Let's see if this is helpful." But the Christian life, you see, isn't. That's not the approach. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual. They are not man-centered. They are God-centered. The Christian life is a God-centered life. We listen to the commanding officer. We don't pick and choose. It's not an a la carte menu. He gives us his word, and he expects us to know it, to study it, to memorize it, and to walk according to it. He gives us the Holy Spirit, who's with us day by day. The one who is our strength, our wisdom, our guide, our comfort. We rest in him. He is within us, and he empowers us to live this Christian life. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And the other great thing he gives us is each other. He gives us the fellowship of fellow soldiers. He gives us each other as Christians, as believers, to engage in this life together, to serve him together, to carry out his commands together, to walk his way together. And when one soldier falls down, we are there. We are there to lift them up and to encourage them to keep going. I know it's a struggle, but let's do this together. We pray for one another. Prayer in this life, prayer is a vital piece of equipment for this struggle. It is absolutely essential. That's why it's so good to hear that said from the pulpit time and time again, and to develop that prayer ministry, the prayer chain, the times of prayer. It is vital in this struggle. This is what we should be engaged in, because the struggle is real. And we support one another in prayer. Remember a couple of weeks ago, Gary was speaking on the Apostle Paul in the shipwreck. And here's the ship, right? And the ship is being driven about, and it's in a storm, and it's breaking up. And what happened then was that there's that lovely verse in the reading which said, so what people did was this. They passed ropes. They passed ropes underneath the ship. And they just brought those ropes together, and they tied those ropes together, and it made the ship stronger. It made the ship secure for that part of the voyage. They tied frapping, it's called. Frapping. They used frapping to keep it all together. The word for, if you have different translations, in one translation is ropes, in another translation is cables, in another translation, in the old translation, the King James Version, it's helps. They tried and tied helps together. It's exactly the same word in the original as in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, which says, therefore let us come confidently to the throne of grace, where we might find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Grace to help. Grace to keep everything together. Keep grace that will help us to come through this. Oh, and that's lovely in the fellowship, in this church, right? We can be like ropes. We can be like helps. We can undergird people. And as they go through struggles, we can hold them. And all we are doing in that, we are God's ministers. We are God's helpers. It's the same word again. We are the same helper as God is. We are an expression, rather. We are an expression of the Lord's grace at this time. Remember that lovely verse in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 26. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. It's the same idea. When you're going through, underneath it all, keeping you afloat, keeping you up, giving you direction, giving you strength, giving you comfort, giving you certainty, underneath are the everlasting arms. And we have the privilege, towards each other, of being those arms, of holding, supporting, comforting, ministering, helping. And I close with this point. But, of course, we have responsibilities as well. Definitely we have responsibilities. We have privileges. We can support each other and help each other, but we have responsibilities as well. And Paul alludes to this at the end of our reading. He is saying, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Because what's happened is that in this church, right? In this church, something needs to be put right. Somebody is acting out of line. You know, if you see a body of soldiers marching and somebody's out of step, well, you just can't go on like that. You've got to put that right. So the responsibility for all of us as Christians is this. Right? That we have to be in step. We have to be in line. And if somebody is out of step, it affects the whole thing. So if we in this struggle want to see things happen, if we want to see people coming to know Jesus as their Savior, we have to be united. If we are going to be effective, we have to be acting as one. So in our hymn, it was, "We are one, Lord. Join us. Keep us close together." And may we be ready always to serve you as a united church, going forward, serving you. And the promise is, I'm going to build you. I'm going to build your church. And nothing will stop us. So these are the weapons of our warfare. We have the scriptures, which isn't take it or leave it. We have prayer. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the one most wonderful captain of all, our commander, the Lord Jesus, who knows and understands and feels for us. And we have each other. Oh, may we be such a church, and may we be ready to do great things for God. And as we come to the end, this is what has been on my heart, is as we come to the end of the holidays, holiday time, as we go into another season in God's will of service for Him, we want this term, we want this year to be better. It's good, but we want to see great things happen. Oh, may it be so. The weapons of our warfare, not like the world's weapons. And at the end of it all, Paul could say, I feel like this very often, I just want to be able to say that. And to say it as a church too, we have fought the good fight. We have finished the race. We have kept the faith. Amen.